Enjoyed this little bit cooler week. Yesterday was quite a bit cooler. I can't even imagine what the Champions golf tournament, which started yesterday, what it was like to play in that kind of wind, rain, and cold. The average temperature yesterday with the wind chill factor all day long was 49 or lower. So that's a pretty chilly day to try to be outside having fun. It's been crazy up and down weather patterns, as we've heard and seen all this winter. But I'm not complaining. I'm glad we've had some cooler weather as opposed to the warmer weather. I just wish we had a little more rain. Spring and summer will be here soon enough, as we all know who've lived here for a while. About 13 years ago, I went through total hip replacement surgery. It was my right hip, ball and socket, both. It was pretty major surgery. It went very well, but I had to go through some pretty extensive rehab, both at home and at a rehab clinic, to get myself back in movable condition. While going through all of that, I was talking with one of my co-rehab patients, and during one of our conversations, this lady happened to mention that she is always happy. Even after the surgery that she went through, which was some, I think it was either knee or hip, I can't remember which one it was we were comparing notes on. She said that she knows that everything ultimately will work itself out and always for the better, so she said, that's why I keep smiling. A great attitude if you can get to that point in your life. It's hard, though. A famous singer of old, Martha Ray, who died in 1994, is quoted to have said this: I spent my whole life thinking that fame and fortune were the keys to happiness. They aren't, and I don't know what is. That's a sad state of affairs for somebody who's made so much money, done so well, been so recognized, has no clue as to what brings happiness to a person's life. This is a sad opposite side of the equation when we think about it. Happiness can be a pretty elusive commodity in our lives at times, and I'm sure most of you would probably agree with that for the most part. As we begin, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let me ask everyone a question as we get going here this morning. Do you think that we have some sort of undisputable right to expect to be happy? Let's take a look at what God's word says and see what God wants for you and me in life and how we can attain it, especially when it comes to the happiness in our lives. Fundamentally, I believe God wants us to be happy. We have probably heard this passage of scripture here in John 10 many times before. I've used it in several sermons that I've given over the years. It provides for the concept of Christianity as being a religion of abundance and bounty, which is an interesting concept to consider. Let's look at John 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep," talking to his disciples. "All who have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Things will be good. Things will work out. Things will go more smoothly than not. A bit of a summary that we'll be celebrating in the upcoming Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread season. Then on the verse of my point, John 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. That is a concept that we rehearse every single year. It's a concept that we need to make a part of our internal being so that when we do go through things in life, and we do need to repent, as we heard in the sermonette, we can use that relationship with God that we have in Jesus Christ to get through these things in life and make it a step forward with progress. The core of what Jesus wants us to experience in life is happiness and joy. Christ also knew that we will too face trials and difficulties in our lives that are a major means by which we grow. And we've heard many, many messages on this concept over the last several years. The trials that we go through, the challenges that we go through, the evil world in which we live, they all provide us opportunities. And if we take advantage of these opportunities, we grow, we change, we become better Christians in the long run. If you think about it, it's sort of like getting sin out and keeping it out of our lives. But in the end result we ultimately should be working forward is a life of joy, peace, and happiness. And sometimes, again, those can seem to be quite elusive to us. Joy, peace, and happiness. It reminds me of a story of a highway construction worker that put something on his vehicle. Most of us have experienced what happens to motorists when one of those huge graders goes to work on a highway repair job. And if you've traveled much at all in this country, especially over the last many years, how many times have you been stopped on a highway or a freeway even and saying, you're going to be here for a while? Sometimes a long time, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour more. And why? Because there's construction going on, and then you got to wait for the traffic to come at you, and then you got to wait for the traffic. You can go forward with it. Back. People get frustrated with that. Road rage has developed as a result of that kind of living. But listen to this. You know those huge machines are operating on a busy road. Traffic is halted, as we just mentioned, and cars lined up in opposite directions are allowed to proceed alternatively. First one and then the other. And I can't tell you how many times we've traveled going back and forth to California over the years where we actually watched a couple miles of cars coming back at us as we waited for our chance to go forward. A veteran operator of one of those big machines decided one day to try to relieve the tension that inevitably results from such traffic backup, and it does. Consequently, on both the front and rear of his grader, a large sign now appears declaring this: the road to happiness is always under construction. Maybe a good reminder for all of us to think about in our lives. In other words, don't take everything so seriously all the time. Lighten up a little bit. Give yourself some slack. Cut other people some slack. Maybe tell funny jokes and stories when you're backed up in the traffic, just to let the time pass a little easier. Okay, time for another question. What is, don't answer this, think about it, but contemplate it. What is happiness to you? What is happiness inside you? What makes you feel more happy? What does it mean to you to be happy? To some, it may be one thing. To others, it might be something completely different. Let me share a thought in this regard with you. Several years ago, the following was in a Dear Abby column. I don't even know if they have Dear Abby columns anymore. I don't read the newspaper anymore, so I wouldn't know. But I used to read this a lot because I always thought it was really interesting, some of the stuff that came to Dear Abby and some of the ways that she responded. It's almost like Paul Harvey's dialogue that he used to have. Here's a Dear Abby in the paper. Dear Abby, happiness is knowing that your parents won't almost kill you if you come home a little late. Happiness is having your own bedroom. Happiness is having parents that trust you. Happiness is getting the telephone call that you've been praying for. Happiness is knowing that you're well-dressed, you're as well-dressed as anybody. Happiness is something I don't have. Signed, 15 and unhappy. A few days later, the Dear Abby newspaper column carried this response to the above letter from a 13-year-old. Dear Abby, happiness is being able to walk. Happiness is being able to talk. Happiness is being able to see. Happiness is being able to hear. Unhappiness is reading a letter from a 15-year-old girl who can do all these things and still says she isn't happy. I can talk, I can see, I can hear, but I can't walk. Signed, 13 and happy. Maybe this should give us something to consider and contemplate in our lives. What do we let make us unhappy, and what do we let make us happy? Let's consider what happiness is not. Some believe that deep inside the human heart is an erroneous belief that if I just didn't have these problems or these worries or these challenges, then I'd be happy. It may have crossed your mind at one point in time in life. I know it's crossed my mind a couple times in my life, because some of the stuff that you go through can be so stressful, it depresses you, and depression is not something you're happy about. Yet this would not make any of us happy, because happiness is not freedom from these things. True happiness in reality comes from when we as Christians are fulfilling God's will in our lives and the purpose for which we were put on this earth. And we heard somewhat about this, how this has to do with this concept in last week's sermon involving prayer. Because it all interrelates. I mean, everything that we study, everything that we discuss, everything that we dialogue about as Christians, it all interrelates with each other. I know a known author, his name is Henry Ward Beecher, you may have heard of him, once said, "The strength and the happiness of a man consists in finding out the way in which God is going and be going in that way too. Follow Jesus Christ's and God's lead." God created us in his image, but he put us here knowing we would go through trials and difficulties. The Bible's laced with it from cover to cover, and it's a story of human history. Why? Well, one of the purposes of building spiritual character, the spiritual character necessary to enter into God's kingdom, which will be the ultimate in happiness. By creating us, the process was not over. It was just beginning. We are not the finished product. I don't care where we are in our lives, we are not the finished product. And I hope all of us can see that, know that, and understand that, and give ourselves some credit. As long as we keep making some kind of progress, even if it's minimal, pat yourself on the back, congratulate yourself, and know that you're making the effort to keep moving positively. He desires to shape us and form us into his perfect children ultimately. That's ultimately what will happen. What is happening during the trials in our lives? As we've heard in the past, God is shaping and molding the clay. Let's now turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We will find that neither does having wealth, wealth in our life mean happiness. Money can solve the problem of food on our table. It can solve paying our light bill. It can solve paying our rent or our mortgage. It can solve paying our taxes. It can solve a lot of things. But it cannot solve our marital problems. Problems with depression. Problems with our children. Problems with our employers, and even with our family and friends. Money is not going to fix that. Here's a cute little vignette on this point. Let me share it with you. A minister was speaking about all the things that money can't buy. Money can't buy happiness, he put. It can't buy laughter, and money can't buy love, he told the congregation. Driving his point home, he said, "What would you do if I offered you $1,000 not to love your mother and father?" a hush fell over the congregation. Finally, a small voice near the front raised an important question. How much would you give me to not love my big sister? There's always an angle, right? Out of the mouths of babes. Let's now look at Luke 12 and begin reading in verse 15, not Luke 11. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. A man's or a person's life isn't in their possessions. It's not in what they own or what they have. Happiness is not something you can go out and get for yourselves. Happiness is something else, and it comes to us automatically, but only when we understand and live by the principles of life that produce it. Sort of like yet another quote I found that fits perfectly here. The writer Ray Inman said, happiness is like an old friend, is inclined to drop in unexpectedly when you're working hard on something else. It just all of a sudden shows up. I'm sure and I hope and I pray that everyone in this room and everybody out there in webcast land has had at least one or two times like this, where you've been about things in your life and all of a sudden you get this warmth of happiness in your feelings. And a smile comes over your face and you just feel better. Let's take a look at three simple keys that can enable us as Christians to be truly happy. Just three. Excuse me. These are things we can do as Christians to be more happy. There are principles of God that we can begin to ensure our happiness. The first key of happiness. It is built on the choices that we make. If you think about it, it's a state of mind. Let me share a couple of more quotes in this regard with you to try to help drive home this point. Abe Lincoln was purported to have said, most people are as happy as they make their minds up to be. And then another quote, notable quote from the famous author Tony Robbins about happiness. Tony writes this, it's not what happens to us in our lives that makes us happy, but how we react to what happens to us. That's true, really true. If you just think about the things that we go through in our lives and things that happen to us, how we react to what's happening has a lot to do with how we feel about everything in life. It's not what happens to us in our lives that makes us happy, but how we react to what happens to us. I'm going to share another story with you that I hope I can get through. We live near our neighbor who goes by JR. Many of you have heard me mention JR and Sally. I shared this story with many of you over the last few years because it's so close to us in our family. JR is a very talented artist creating beautiful items out of dead saguaro cactus. And I mean beautiful. This guy's like a genius when it comes to creating art from something that looks so ugly. Well, a couple of years ago, JR ended up losing both of his legs above the knees due to major medical negligence. I want you to consider that thought for a second. Somebody you know who's become a good friend of yours, that you've grown to love, that you respect and admire, no longer has legs. Yet when you talk to him, he's always up, friendly, and making jokes. As he went through all of the therapy, he's finally got two artificial limbs now that he's learning how to use, and the doctors and nurses and the therapists, people that created the hardware, they can't believe the progress that he's made in these two or three short years. I mean, it's astounding. They've actually said they want to write a book about it or have a story about his life because of the way he's responded to that. This guy is wonderful to be around as he wheels himself around in his wheelchair, because that's how he gets around most of the time, unless he's out walking with his walker, learning how to use his new legs. Why is that? Why is JR such an incredible example? Well, we've had on several other situations with folks that we've both known in and out of the church who have been through a lot of pain and a lot of tragedy in their lives. But when you talk to so many of them, they're always a source of inspiration and encouragement. They seem to always have an ability to smile and be really encouraging to you. I always leave our conversations as though I've just been lifted up and strengthened. And I really, really appreciate that as a person, as a friend, and a Christian. They always seem to be able to turn the tables on me. Paul had the church in Philippi focus on things that could bring happiness to them as well. Let's look at Philippians 4, and we're going to begin in verse 8. Again, one of those scriptures that we probably read many times in our lives, but it can convey inspiration in our lives. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about this. Let this be your thought process as you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. Let it be your thought process as you go through a day. Let it be your thought process and the thinking process as you're dealing with issues in your life. Remind ourselves that these words are here for a reason. I believe God and Jesus Christ inspired Paul to write this. I mean, this is a litany of power. Paul wasn't a psychotherapist, but was used by God in a huge way and learned many powerful lessons about life, and he shares them with us. I mean, that's what Paul's epistles are all about. It's almost like many of the books have been written to that espouse an old adage, we are what we think. And there is so much truth to that. You want to make yourself down and depressed and unhappy? Think about bad things, not so good things. If you want to be up, you want to be encouraged, you want to be positive about stuff, think about all this kind of stuff. Take these words. I never even counted them. I don't even know how many there are. Take those words and study them. Let it become a part of your being. And refresh yourselves with it. Let's continue in verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Talking about the relationship that he had with this church congregation. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. Powerful, powerful personal lesson for all of us. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It's like it didn't matter. He knew where he was going. He knew he was going to get there eventually. Just keep trotting along. He was just saying that there is contentment that comes from not having some of these things, but the way we deal with our circumstances has a lot to do with it. Just like Tony Robbins told us in that quote. And look how he ends it in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew that even in times of difficulty, he rose above the fray. He acknowledged what he had was involved in and allowed to see above the confusion and chaos of life. And again, this book that we're reading that I've shared with so many of you and told so many of you about, calling, Jesus Calling. I mean, I can't iterate enough how many times these things come up in life, and like I'm feeling a certain way, and I'll read a passage for that particular day. It might only be a small paragraph in one or two or three scriptures, and it like addresses my issue. It's like, how does that happen? Christ knows how to get to our hearts. That's how it happens. And it works. Let's now go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Oops, went too far. Second key to happiness. Comes from growing in character and wisdom. Growing in character and wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what path to choose to reach the right goal. And wisdom also implies character growth, which is where many of the trials and difficulties that we face come into the picture. Wisdom can come from many sources as well. Have you heard the phrase that I just used a few minutes ago, out of the mouths of babes? I'm sure you've heard that at times in your life. Certainly most people have. It comes from the simple truth that sometimes it takes a child to reveal lasting wisdom. It sometimes seems foolish, but maybe not. Let me give you a few examples. Patrick, age 10, said, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." Michael, age 14, said, "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him." Michael was a wise man, and he also said, "Never tell your mom her diet's not working." Randy, 9 years old, said, "Stay away from prunes." One wonders how he discovered that point of wisdom. Kyoko, age 9, said, "Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time." Naomi, 15, said, "If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse." Lauren, age 9, said, "Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick." Joel, 10 years old, said, "Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat." And lastly, Eileen, age 8, "Never try to baptize a cat." You know, there's some good advice in those words, isn't there? They're humorous, they're funny, but they're just talks about being down to earth about life. And that, folks, is part of what can bring more happiness to our lives. Coming to know and choose the right path is wisdom. And this comes through understanding the law of God, and then character to do what is right and the right things is what helps make it all work once you know what they are. You know, cowboys seem to have their own form of wisdom. I'm watching a thing on Paramount Plus now. It's called 1923. It's about the Dunham family, and then it's a prelude to the Yellowstone series. It's all about cowboys. I mean, it's really cool stuff. Let me share some cowboy wisdom with you. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. If you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then and make sure it's still there. If you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering somebody else's dog around. After eating an entire bull, a mountain lion felt so good he started roaring. He kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. The moral, when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. Never kick a cow chip on a hot day. There's two theories to arguing with women. and neither one of them works. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Never slap a man who's chewing tobacco. Always drink upstream from the herd. And lastly, the quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your pocket. Okay, enough silliness. Let's get on to Proverbs 3 and begin reading in verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. These two things come from experience and using the knowledge we gain. It comes many times from what's called the school of hard knocks. Sort of reminds me of that Annie movie. It's a hard knock life that they sung. Verse 14, for her wisdom and understanding proceeds better than the profits of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are always pleasantness, and her paths always are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? The knowledge that we are fundamentally going to do what is right brings a sense of accomplishment, peace, and happiness into our lives. Let's go over to now Acts 20, back to the Old New Testament. Acts 20, and let's look at our third key of happiness. That comes from serving the needs of other people. And as we've heard many times before, this really is a key point in being happy as a Christian, serving others. It's a form of molding and shaping the clay that I referred to earlier that God's doing continuously. We're just going to go with one verse here in Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus as he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is a heavily quoted scripture, but I wonder how many truly understand its impact on life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Solomon also had something to say about this in Proverbs 14. Let's go back there. Proverbs 14. I've had many people share stories with me, and I've shared with them over the years about what a joy it is when you can do something for somebody else when they're not expecting it, and when it's above and beyond the call of duty kind of thing. And especially, I have found, as others have expressed to me, when you can do it and not let them find that it was you. A joy comes from that, folks. A pure joy. Christ said that it is a way to receive blessings in our lives, the spiritual reward, blessings, and happiness that comes from giving ourselves to others. God is showing us that if we really want to be happier, there is a way to get there. Next, in Proverbs 14, we'll see just again one verse, verse 21. Proverbs 14, verse 21. He who despises his neighbor's sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. The ones who focus on caring for and giving to others brings happiness to their lives. It's a natural course of events. In our own families, our neighborhoods, our place of work, as well as even in the church. Christ mentioned this in Luke 6. Let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Serving others, when you think about it, is an act of the heart, not necessarily a physical action. And it is sometimes that we make a conscious decision about it. It is a choice that we make that can bring happiness to our lives as well as to the lives of others. What a great blessing that is if you can get it both ways. When I say a choice, it really does come down to that, thinking about and choosing to do it. It's Let's begin reading in Luke 6 here in verse 27. Christ had just given them some woes to consider in life. He then switches gears on them. This is a section of the Bible that some of us really wish weren't here. We'll see what I mean in a minute. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Sounds like stuff you all want to do, right? To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer also the other. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. A very good reminder for all of us. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. What a place this earth would be if we all behaved like this. Think about it. Especially verses 27, 28, and 29. What a congregation would we have if we all chose to act like this all the time. Then drop down to verse 38 and listen to how it's worded. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put on into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Packed in there really good, pressed down and overflowing. That's a promise, folks. That's a big one. No room for anything else, just like a huge, huge ice cream waffle cone. I remember one of our favorite places to go for years was Catalina Island. Our kids loved it there because they had the Olaf's enormous waffle cone. And it was a tiny little ice cream spot right along the walkway. And every day we'd go by there, we'd go get an Olaf's cone, huge waffle cone. And they had it pressed down, stuffed in there, running over, and it would just run all over the place. There was so much in it. Just like what Christ said can happen to us. This is a promise that has a reward when we do it. A happiness from blessing and being blessed beyond measure. This is the one that we have to put to test over time. And as we look back on how we have been blessed by God, he challenged us to try and outgive him. Happiness, as we've seen, can come from many parts in our lives. I now go back to the question that I asked earlier. Do we have the right to expect to be happy? My answer is you bet. But it's all up to us. Remember these three approaches to happiness. One, happiness can be based on the choices that we make. Happiness can come from growing in character and wisdom. And happiness can come from serving the needs of other people. I hope you all have a happy Sabbath. Thank you.